Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. This is show number 118, for what it's worth. And it is Sunday, the 26th of March, 2023. Joined, as always, by Mr. Richard Yates. Hello, mate.
Good morning, Kev. Welcome to summertime.
How are you? Yes, indeed. Did you enjoy an hour less in bed?
No, not really. It was a bit of a shock when I woke up.
And I noticed
that, like most years, it's a bit of a joke, summertime, in as much as it's pouring with rain. But then I suppose the clue is in the name, British summertime. Not actually summer, but there you go.
Yes, lots of rain in sunny Suffolk as well, which is just want to kick off before we get into anything. I've had a couple of people, or several people, about four or five people, contact me about the a bit confused about the donations thing. First of all, yet another thanks. It was really good this year. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And a couple of people said, I really can't contribute at the moment. Do I have to wait until next March to contribute? I'll happily take contributions anytime, with the exception of this one transgression. What we're not going to do is ask for it every week or 2 weeks or whatever. So you can, and I'll just put the link to how you do it in the show notes, but we won't be chatting about it after this little mention. But yeah, obviously, some people obviously get paid at different times, and lots of people are struggling at the moment, I think. So in all honesty, those people that contacted me and just said they'd like to but can't afford to, that's actually quite nice. Because part of getting the money is nice, and I'm using it this year for these little discs that I put in my arm. So that really has been a huge boost. That probably covers me for about the next 2.5 months. So that's really awesome. A lot of it is just about getting the engagement, really, because you can't. It's really hard to tell, Rich, how many people listen, isn't it? Because we were chatting about this the other day. We look at the numbers in my case, on the Anchor app, or Spotify for podcasters, as it's called now, and they give a certain number. But I don't know about you, but I probably download our podcast and everyone else's about 7 times over different devices.
Funnily enough, since I heard the guys talking on it about it at PSC a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, I actually have checked that out. And at that time, I had 9 devices downloading PSC every week.
Exactly.
Now, it has to be said, I've had a fairly major cull in the last 10 days, so that number would be down to 5 now.
Yeah.
But it does kind of illustrate, you can't really tell. What I would say is, we do get 1 or 2 regular correspondents, those are always welcome to hear from. I mean, got a big shout out to Harry Myrie, who loyally comments on lots of things.
Absolutely.
And it's always interesting to hear. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Because at the end of the day, you know, we know what we're doing. We know why we're doing it.
Yeah, we do it for ourselves, don't we?
If two people say, oh, I really enjoyed the show, and that's actually good enough for me, because it means we've had a chance to talk a bit of tech and somebody's got some pleasure out of it.
So absolutely.
I don't think it really matters.
I'm slowly moving away from Twitter. I think you are as well. I can't really deal with the app, I'm afraid. It just does my head in. TweetDeck is manageable when I'm on the Mac, but pretty much outside of that, I can't be bothered with it.
And they're about to screw that up as well. I don't know.
Are they?
But there's a new TweetDeck where you know, like, you've got icons to click here for a mention and
it's
the right site.
To
be honest, I don't really mind it. I mean, you were tweeting this morning that as a point of principle, you block and promote a tweet. And that's childish. I don't think it's childish at all. I'm going to read who I want to read. I'm not interested in being told by an algorithm who I should be following.
If I'm
copied in on a series of tweets and there's somebody I don't follow and they're interesting, then I'll add them. And there are 1 or 2 people who I always thought I was following who seem to have dropped off. So apologies to our good friend Chris Kelly. I noticed this morning I was no longer following him, and I've added him back, but it wasn't intentional. But I want to actually read things I want to read, not what Elon Musk's algorithm thinks I should read.
I think actually MeWe is pretty decent, really. I know it comes in for a lot of stick, but I don't mind
MeWe
it at all.
MeWe is driving me bonkers at the moment for reasons I don't understand. I mean, most of the time I'm on any social media, I'm on a computer, almost always a Mac.
Yeah.
I've never had this happen on a phone, but for the last 2 weeks, whenever I try and open the page on MeWe, It requires me to log in again. Fine, not a problem. Oh, okay. Except it gives me a capture. Oh. And these captures are things like identify the basketballs or identify the people playing hockey. And to make matters worse, they're blurry pictures, obviously on purpose. And, I mean, the other day it took me a quarter of an hour to get into MeWe. And I was just thinking, I am not going to last long if they keep feeding me this rubbish because I just can't do it. My eyes aren't good enough.
It must be something to do with your end, though, because I don't get any of that.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Got to be,
no, I haven't until about 2 weeks ago. I've not had that at all. Mm. And now it's just crazy. It's there all the time. I could do the old trick of deleting things and reinstalling them, but of course on the computer it's a web page. It's not
clear everything out for that one site. That's all you got to do, probably.
Yes, I think that is exactly what I've got to do. And to be honest, it hasn't been so much a problem the last couple of days, but I can't put my finger on why. But sort of Thursday time, it was 8-9 times a day, do this bloody rubbish capture that I couldn't, my eyes aren't good enough to see. And I just think to myself, if you had, for example, they've been saying since 2018 they were going to install 2FA on MeWe. And actually, one of my biggest reservations about MeWe is that it doesn't have 2FA on it. And wherever I can, I always use 2FA. And they've been saying, oh, yes, we're going to do this. It's on our timetable. Well, guys, the timetable's now 5 years old. When are you going to do it? Because captures are not the answer if people like me can't actually make them work.
How much have you contributed to MeWe monetarily?
Very little. And actually, I've told them that's exactly why, because they keep promising to do 2FA, and they haven't. When they do, then I'll contribute to it.
I wonder if funding is the problem. I mean, I'm the same. I'm not criticising. I'm exactly the same. I've only ever given them a one-off.
How hard can it be?
No idea.
I mean, I haven't either. But
don't know where they get their money from, do we? Because they don't. There literally is no adverts.
I think I applaud them for that, and actually I would like to contribute to it, but to me that's basic, and I can't imagine. I mean, maybe somebody will put us right, and I'd be very willing to be corrected, but I can't imagine that it's actually that difficult to introduce 2FA, given that lots and lots of other sites have got 2FA.
Yeah.
Presumably out there is a model that you can buy the code and install it. I don't know. What would I know?
Why do you need 2FA for that site? What is your worry?
Because some of my personal information is in my account there, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. When you sign up, things like mobile number, for example.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, what they should do, because they charge 79p for a dark theme, which is very easy for me to save because I hate dark theme with a passion.
To be honest, I prefer dark themes, but if they think I'm going to pay to a dark theme, even 79p, I'm not doing it.
But it's you probably would bung them a quid for 2FA, probably. So that's what they should do, is make it a chargeable thing. And then, of course, they'd get loads of grief for making security a chargeable item. So they probably can't win, to be honest. But, I mean, really, where else could PSC have gone? There wasn't really that many options out there, I don't think. And I think actually it's worked out pretty well. It's the sort of thing where you can go on there and you get the odd little platform things come up, but it soon gets sort of squashed, or most people just come to their senses pretty quickly. And actually over time, there've been less and less of those. But anyway, I don't want to talk about it too much longer, because at the end of the day, it was just a passing thing. But
no, I mean, I think they've done a great job with it, but they kind of, I don't know, maybe they think they'll get more value, excuse me, out of people buying dark mode than putting proper security in place. But when you think of some of the big sites and the security problems that have occurred, it makes me very twitchy. Anything I can put 2FA on, I put 2FA on.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Right, okay, so let's move along. I put my S23 Ultra up for sale during the week.
How long did that last?
Around 4 minutes, I think. About 4 minutes, I believe. I got to that point, which everyone kind of thought I'd get to, where I think to myself, it's silly having two devices like this. I spoke to someone on DM this morning and basically told them that I kind of wish I could split myself into two people, because I really, really, really am enjoying this, and I want
it's a great
it,
phone.
And I want it to be, yeah, I want it to be the main phone. So one day during the week, I had actually swapped my SIM into and out of the eSIM. This is. I swapped it into and out of the S23 Ultra within a 24-hour period, which is kind of crazy. But actually, on that note, you know, I've now done many, many of these. I mean, that the S23 Ultra has had the eSIM three times now, including this one. It did manage to last a couple of days on each of the other occasions. And I mean, I've only had it a month. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And it is incredibly simple now to do, certainly with EE at least. There is no way to do it automatically across from one iPhone to another. I believe you can do it automatically, although I'd probably stick to the EE app, although that EE app has got rubbish lately. You've really got to go hunting for it now. It used to be really easy to find, but once you get there, it's fine. Is it surprising? I don't know. I was going to say surprisingly, we haven't come across a setup at work where anyone's had an eSIM yet, but it probably isn't surprising at John Lewis, probably, for the sort of people that we are doing the setups for that tend to be the less tech savvy folk. So
well, there's an interesting question, isn't there? I mean, I thought that given that the iPhone in the US now is only eSIM,
yeah,
that must have provoked a sizable eSIM market in the pay-as-you-go market.
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
And, you know, I thought to myself, God, sorry, I had a coughing fit just before we started. I thought to myself, well, that's what's like to happen is that providers in the UK and elsewhere, of course, will start making pay-as-you-go eSIMs available because you'd imagine they'll be thinking, you know, the iPhone 15 might well be dual eSIM everywhere.
Yeah,
but I mean, I haven't looked for probably a couple of months now. But last time I looked, you still couldn't get a pay-as-you-go eSIM anywhere.
I looked yesterday, funnily enough.
Unless you get a funny one, you know, a special one like a TruePhone one.
You can still download those.
But none of the main networks or the main MVNOs even made it. And I thought by now there'd be quite a big push on that.
Yeah,
that we would see that happen. So that then begs another question: what does Apple do now? Do they say we carry on having a different iPhone from the US from the rest of the world? I don't know.
Be interesting with the 15, won't it? Because it seems to be part of a move to not have any holes in the device at all. I don't think we're going to see portless this year, are we? I think we're going to see USB-C. I think that's pretty much confirmed now, as confirmed as leaks can be. Yeah. But there is no doubt in my mind that they're going to work towards completely portless. I mean, they've not done anything, have they, with the space this year?
It's just
a gap in the American one. So it's quite an odd decision, really. But it'll be very interesting. My current thoughts are... So I've had a few thoughts about this. I set up... this week, I set up my first ever 14 Plus this week.
All right.
Never had one before. There's one on display, but it's not quite the same as actually setting one up for someone and using it for an hour. And I was really, really impressed with it. There's nothing unique about it. It's Jackie, for example, bought a new 14 this week. You know, she'd had a 12 mini for quite some time, and she decided that the battery life was never great to start with on it. But after 2 years, it was pretty poor, to say the least. So she got a 14, didn't want the bigger one. You know, so I've set that up for her and I've played with that. All this is a bigger phone, but because of the enjoyment I've been getting out of the S23 Ultra, a huge amount of that enjoyment is based around the fact that my eyesight's not great, I can see things better, I automatically pick up the S23 Ultra if I want to watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, it's such a fantastic screen, isn't it?
And it's like a
cracking screen.
Yeah, the odd thing is I've barely used my iPad since I got the S23 Ultra.
I completely get that.
It's what you said about the Folds, wasn't it? You know, as soon as you got a Fold. I've even thought, I mean, apart from PUBG, which I do enjoy, but only really play much in the winter. In the summer months, I don't really touch it. you know, I'm starting to think, do I sell it? But actually, a 2018 11-inch Pro is worth so little, it's probably not worth it.
There's no point selling it, is there?
And my thought, suddenly, I had this sudden thought of, oh, I want the bigger screen. I'm never leaving iPhone. It's ingrained. It's the watch, as we always say. But I've just gone back, actually. I've just bought Philips Hue for the first time ever. I've always passed on Philips Hue because of the pricing, and it seems rather complicated, which it is to some degree, but not really that bad. But the main thing is, by the way, a little tip on that, if you, which I may have mentioned before, apologies if I did, Argos were doing a starter kit which included four bulbs. I think you can get screw and bayonet cap. Four bulbs, the bridge, and a dimmer switch, albeit a version one dimmer switch, not a version two, but really doesn't make that much difference, quite frankly, if you're going to use it as an on-off switch. So you get that for £129, and that's amazing. The bulbs are lower wattage bulbs. They're equivalent to 60-watt bulbs. But actually, that's plenty for most circumstances. So I've now had a little bit of a... So the usual problem with these things is our spouses, isn't it, really? They're not going to go into their phone to turn on a light.
No, I mean, I've still been chuckling about you sellotaping up your light switch.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I know exactly how long that would last around here.
Yeah. Well, if you got the dimmer switches are $19.99, so they're not bank breakers. So I bought another one of those, actually. So for example, I've replaced the light in the bathroom with a Hue bulb. We had a pull cord thing, right? Because you're not gonna have a light switch in a bathroom. So we had a pull cord thing, and it was the noisiest thing you've ever had. So every morning when she gets up at 4:30 and clonks that bloody thing on, I would always hear it. Sometimes it would wake me up, sometimes it wouldn't, but quite often it would. Really loud. I know I probably could have replaced it with a quieter switch, but that's not technically minded, is it? Let's be honest. So what I've done is I've cut the cord off. So there is no cord unless you want to get on a ladder and get the little dingly bit that's hanging down.
You've actually cut the cord on the light switch?
Yeah, it was knotted up and I couldn't get it, so I snipped it.
So what happens if a visitor comes to your house and needs to use the bathroom?
Yeah.
You have to switch the light on for
it. Here's the interesting thing. They could either... tap a little NFC tag at the bottom of the stairs with their iPhone, and that would turn it on, right? That would turn it on.
When people come to visit you, right? You know, like your relations and friends or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to give them instruction on how to use an NFC tag.
Oh no!
The bathroom light on.
Not at all. I could airdrop them the shortcut, and they could just say, "Hey Siri, BARTH," actually say the word, and that would turn the light on.
And what happens if your friends and whatever are Android users?
Then they're buggered. No, they're not. So then they would go upstairs and they would press the on-off switch that is now stuck on the wall outside the bathroom.
No, so that's independent of the
cable. Yeah. So the dimmer,
that's not quite so bad.
Your dimmer switches are amazing. I got one downstairs and one upstairs. The dimmer switches are absolutely incredible, in that you can program them to do lots of things. But at their most basic, the version one has got an on button at the top and an off button at the bottom. Version two, I've got one of each. Version two has got you just toggle the top button for on and off. It's completely silent. It's battery operated, so if you did happen to touch it with wet hands, it's not going to do anything, because it's got a little coin cell in it. It's a really, really good system. You're obviously familiar with a PIR sensor. You know, we all have those, don't we, on our outside lights and things. Well, I haven't got one yet, but I was looking into outdoor lights. Now, the only problem with Philips Hue is the price. So, for example, an outside LED floodlight thing is £120. It's multiple. Actually, it's 140 if you want it to be colour. So if you just want shades of white, different colour, you know, different temperature whites, it's 120 quid.
Repel intruders by zapping them with multicoloured flashing lights.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it's
yeah.
To disorientate them, I suppose. Yeah.
So I'm not spending that. You know, I'm not stupid. I got one off Amazon for 30 quid, and it's got a PIR on the bottom of it, and it's built in. But should you actually get these, it kind of blow my mind, because PIRs usually have, basically, they're linked to whatever light, aren't they? So yeah. They're either linked with a cable, they need power, they, you know, whatever. But these things, you can buy a Philips Hue PIR. And you'd simply screw it or stick it on the wall wherever you want it, and then you program it to operate whatever you want it to operate from your Hue lights. It's kind of remarkable. And it just does it all through the bridge. You can have up to 50 lights on the bridge. I absolutely love it at the moment. And of course, the other thing is it's took me back down the HomeKit route, which when I last tried it about a year and a bit ago was pretty awful, and I'd got involved with Google. I mean, the other thing that my visitors could do is they could ask Google to turn it on, because I've got that. I've got Siri. I've now got, of course, a HomePod Mini in the house, because you have to have one for HomeKit.
You don't think that you'd get a little disorientated as a visitor if you turn up at somebody's house, you need the bathroom, and you have to work out which digital assistant. I mean, what if you've got people who are only used to using Alexa? You haven't got that one covered, have you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've got an Alexa in the corner. So, yeah. Yeah, you can do it. You can do Alexa, you could do Google Home, or you could do Siri.
I haven't enjoyed recording a podcast as much in ages.
But of course, for the heathens, they can just go press the button. Now, first, and there is
cut the cord.
There is an interesting aside to this. The downstairs loo, which so any visitors that come wouldn't go upstairs anyway, because we only let them use the tradesman's loo, and that one is kind of covered because it's got a light bulb in it with a PIR built into the light bulb, so the light comes on when you go in, and then goes off when you come out. So there is, I've cut the cord on that one as well, but that was years ago. But the only trouble with that is if you're in the loo for, let's say, longer than a few seconds, the light goes out again, you have to move your head to get it to come back on. So it's kind of interesting.
Technique to those, isn't it? But, in a hotel once.
all joking apart, because we rent, obviously, I can't do too much wiring wise. So Hue is absolutely brilliant, you know, because you can just program everything to do what you want it to do. It works over HomeKit, although you end up using the Hue app as much as anything. If an Android user came, then obviously, yeah, they're going to have to use the thing. And actually, I was thinking about that the other night, because these little discs, did we ever speak about these NFC tags?
We briefly did, and yeah. You sent me a link, and then I never did anything about it.
Oh, okay, yeah. So this week, for example, at work, we had once a year, or sometimes twice a year, we have partner-only promotion offers. That's literally us, you know, we can buy things at a very, very advantageous price. One example is I can get 150 quid Ninja for about 69 quid at the moment. These are one per partner. Anyone who's got a card like Jackie, she can't go and do it. You know, I've got to buy it, and it has to be for my use only. And you've got to be a bit careful. We've currently got something like 28% off S23 range. Which ironically would have made it cheaper than I paid, but you know, you don't know these things are coming out. And so what I did was I scanned a couple of these discs, stuck them to an A4 sheet of paper with a couple of brief instructions for what to do if you're an iPhone user and an Android user. And a few people have just had their minds blown by the fact that these things, they can just scan this thing and it literally opens it up. The page where all the offers are is relatively hard to find, especially for new people. But I've just put, you know, one in the staff canteen and one in the one near me where I sit. And so many people have gone past, sort of look at it and tried it and been blown away. Interestingly, if you've got an Android and you scan it, it will take you straight to that page. But the iPhone will pop up a little thing saying, you know, confirm you want to go to this thing. Because, of course, you could send someone to any website by programming this thing. But, you know, worth having a play with, because you can literally make them do anything, basically. The only thing is, like, for example, I've got a couple of these stuck up now to operate the lights with an iPhone, just for fun, really, because obviously we don't really need them. But you do have to make a shortcut, and then you have to put that shortcut onto the other person's phone for them. So you can't actually, if you want to go to a website on one of these tags, that works with everyone's phone, provided they've got NFC on. In fact, I don't know if you can turn NFC off on an iPhone, can you?
I don't know how you would.
It's on all the time for Apple Pay. So they you know, and on Android, you can turn NFC off, obviously. But so those ones go straight to it, and they'll work without any interaction. But the one on the bottom of the stairs, for example, that turns the bathroom light on, I had to put the actual shortcut and automation onto Jackie's phone before that will work. And you have to have a separate one for each light you're going to operate. So, but then the point is, all you've got to do is say, hey, S. In this case, I just say, hey, S, bath, and it will turn it on. It's got me even more blinking into the iPhone, really. Shortcuts is, when you think what the iPhone used to be compared to Android, in terms of what you could do with it, I have to say now it's gone way past what you can do with Android. With Android, to do the same sort of things, you would need Tasker or something like that, which has always been pretty complicated in my book. Although I believe that Samsung have got their own routines thing now, which is very similar to shortcuts, apparently.
But yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, I haven't had much chance to play with that yet.
Somewhere in Bixby, I think, but I could be wrong. I need to spend more time playing with things to be able to sort of extract that sort of thing. I've never really looked at that.
I mean, the other thing you can do with a tag is you could just literally have one. You could have one at work, and then tap it as you walk, as you sit down at your desk. You could tap it, and that can set your phone. It can be as complicated as you want, or it could simply set it on silent, or it could set it to work mode or whatever. But of course, you can do that by proximity. You can do that by time of day. You there's millions of different ways of actually doing this. And once you've got a shortcut, I've got another shortcut on mine, which if I say hey S, and then just say GPT, Siri gets replaced by ChatGPT, and then actually it is incredibly useful. So it's still Siri, but it gets linked to ChatGTP, not the very latest, really, really smart one, but, you know, a version of it. And then when you ask it something like, show me how to make a cottage pie, for example, is a good one. It gives you a list of what you need to buy, and then a literal step-by-step. Siri will read the whole bloody thing if you let it. But it's like a two-page long thing, rather than Siri would basically give you a link to three websites.
Yeah.
BBC Good Food will be at the top of that every time. And that's it. That's the difference. But somebody's just written a shortcut. Shortcuts, if anyone's got an iPhone and you've never played with shortcuts, get yourself onto YouTube and watch a couple of things on there. One of the best ones, actually, is a guy I've started following on there called Proper Honest Tech, chap called Tom. Really, really good channel, if you get a chance to go and check that one out. But yeah, having a lot of fun with that at the moment. And that, as I said, that links me more to the iPhone. So it's the same old in many ways. If I want to get things done, it's the iPhone. And if I want to play and have a bit of fun, it's the S23 Android. Ultra
yeah.
at the moment. But hoping the weather's going to get better and I can do a bit more with it in terms of cameras.
Yeah, I mean, the S23 Ultra is just... yeah, superficially, you'd think there's not much difference in this yeah. and the S22 Ultra, but it's just so much more polished. It's a bit really like, in fact, well, it's more than. But I mean, in the same way as there are refinements in the iPhone 14 over the 13, but fundamentally it's a similar phone, that's to a degree true of the S23. But I think, the big difference is, I've noticed, the battery life is like half as much again, and whether that's just because it's a Snapdragon and not a... an Exynos, I don't know. It just feels more fluid.
Must be, yeah.
And it's just a nice phone to use, isn't it? You know, it really is enjoyable.
Yeah, I found a really strange thing last night. I plugged my... I tried to do reverse wireless charging to charge my AirPod Pro 2s. And it failed for some reason. It said, oh, please take the case off. And my case is fairly thick on the back, so the hard plastic back, you know. Mm. And I thought, well, I can't be bothered to take the bloody thing off. I'll just plug it into the thing. I plugged it into USB-C into the S23 Ultra, and then obviously lightning into that, and it popped and dinged and said, yeah, I'm charging. 10 minutes later, nothing had happened. They were still at 22%. So I thought, oh, that's odd. And for some reason, I took that out and then I plugged it into the iPhone. But it just started charging the iPhone. It went from 22% to 25%. Took about 15 minutes, mine, to give it 3%. But I didn't realise that was a thing, to be honest. But there's actually a setting in the 23 to say... do you want to charge, do you want to always charge whatever you plug into this thing? So you can actually use it as a blinking power bank. It's incredible when you think what the thing has got. I mean, my one is 512 gigabytes because it had that get double the storage for the same price
the
deal.
Offer, yeah.
So it's a half a terabyte of pretty fast storage. The only thing I'm not completely convinced with at the moment is the camera and the video. There are many, many YouTube videos which are just basically I've swapped to the S23 Ultra, and they'll all be going back to the iPhone in a month and get another video out of it and some more money out of it, and good luck to them. At the end of the day, that's the name of the game. A lot of people say the video, I'm waiting for some good weather to coincide with some time off. I'm actually off now until Friday, but I think it's going to pee down almost every single day, to be honest. So I'm even using the S Pen quite a lot, which is weird. Although 99% of the usage as of right now is as a... Can you hear it? Is as a fidget tool, really, rather than anything. I'm waiting for you to cough, and then I'm going to write on the S23 Ultra what time it is, so I can edit it. And
only cough once so far.
No, there's nothing editable yet. But
that's all right.
It is quite a nice little fidget tool, to be fair.
Yeah, it's. I mean, to be honest, it's quite amusing because I was trying to think if the S Pen has actually even been out of my S23 Ultra. I think the problem is that if I'm using a pen, I want a big pen, but then even then,
yeah.
The Pencil 2 is quite a big pen, and I virtually never use it. I do use it, but very little.
I can help you out there, because I bought one of the offers we had this week was on the Logitech Pencil, Crayon it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Silly name, actually, because it makes it sound very childish, but actually it's brilliant. In many ways, it's nicer to hold than the Apple Pencil, in my opinion. But this one's a little bit different. It's a USB-C, and it's for any USB-C iPad from 2018 upwards, which covers my one and covers most of them, let's be honest. Yeah. Most of the modern shape ones, anyway. And I kind of succumbed because it was down from 80 quid to, under these special offers, to 43. So I kind of bought one. I mean, if anyone wants to buy it, I won't make a profit on it. It'll be 43 quid exactly, including delivery. I don't even know why I bought it, because A, I don't even use the iPad anymore. I kind of figured I'd give it to Jackie, and she took one look at it and went, no, I'll never use it. All right, fine. So if anyone wants to pick one up, they're £79.99. basically, and this is obviously brand new.
I mean, that tends to be the problem. I think I've got, like, I know I've got one, I think I've probably got about three or four of one variety or another. I mean, I've got one that when I had the Pixel Slate, which is sitting quietly in the corner doing nothing. Yeah. I've got one built into my Chromebook, which I think has been out of its housing twice. I don't know. I just guess I'm too old a dog to learn new tricks on that one. I've learned to do these. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? We all learn to do the jobs we need to do, and once you learn them, you don't have any incentive really to learn a different way of doing it, unless it's obviously much more efficient. I mean, you know, I the best example for that for me is I've been using Excel since, I don't know, 1990. No, it must be earlier than that, actually, thinking about it. 1980-something. Yeah, it was definitely 1980-something, because it was before I was self-employed. I found a way of doing something about 3 months ago, talking to somebody I work with, and I was thinking, blimey, that's so much faster than the way I would have done it. But the fact is, the way I did it worked, and it didn't not work to such a degree that I had any incentive to find another way of doing it. You know, I was quite happy with what I was doing. So we all do that. And I think that's the problem with writing on computers. It's something that, when I think of the original laptops with their screens, where, you know, if you so much as got a fingerprint on it, you'd never get the mark off and it was never the same again. It's a very different kettle of fish these days, isn't it?
It is. You just reminded me of something that happened at work. Oh, yeah, you look. So this week, someone came in, someone bought a laptop back, and they asked if we could exchange it. They only had it a few days because the screen brightness was inadequate for this person's eyesight. So it's a difficult one for us in some respects, because in theory our refund policy says if you have set the item up, if you have, well, actually the wording is if you have used the item, it is non-refundable. We always treat it on an individual basis. And my first reaction was to say to the people, look, I'm really sorry you've set it up. So I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to take it back. But more importantly, you've spent £379 on a laptop. And frankly, unless you go for something like a MacBook or a £1,000 laptop, they're all going to be around about the same brightness level.
Yeah, there are going to be compromises if you have a laptop at that price, aren't
they? Exactly. So they sort of said, oh, well, actually, we've reset it, which they had, to be fair. They'd reset it, obviously had no marks on it or anything else. So I said, look, hang on a minute. Instead of that, let's have a look and make sure, let's just do a quick setup on it. Get it back to working, and let's just have a quick look and make sure you're maximizing it out, because I knew this particular Lenovo, when you start it up, it's got the most hideous dark green background that you could ever imagine, making it look as dingy can be. So anyway, I looked up the brightness of the screen, and it was 250 nits. But they'd already picked one out from the display as being much brighter. And they said to me, oh, well, that one. So I looked that one up without going to look at it physically. And that was 250. It got confusing, actually, because it was 250 CD/M, which is candela. And of course, nits and candela are exactly the same thing. But I had to explain that to them first. And we had a chat for, excuse me, I'm at it now. We had a chat.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Goodness me. I said, sorry, not Siri. Thank you. They were fairly adamant that this other one, And I said, how much was it? And they said, oh, 500. We've got to pay about another 150 quid. And I was sort of thinking, I'm going to make an exception here because these are really nice people. Clearly, they can't use it. It isn't just buyer's remorse. There's a genuine reason here. But what, and I said to them bluntly, what I don't want to do is just swap this over because I know they're both exactly the same brightness. You're going to get that home and you're just going to bring it back. So I will swap it, but it'll be on the understanding that we put a note on the receipt that this, that the new one will not be exchangeable if you find that it's not suitable. And they said, actually, that's completely fair, no problem at all, because we've seen it. And I said, well, let's go and have a look at this. I'd like to think that I'm always open to learning, you know, and I'm fairly quick to admit when I'm wrong. Anyway, we took this over, and the other one they looked at was a Dell at it was 150 quid more, so 529. And to my incredible surprise, I don't know why it should have been the surprise, it looked twice as bright. They were both 250 candela or nits, but it looked almost twice as bright because I suddenly realised that I hadn't thought it through. And the more you spend, obviously, you get a better screen. It's not so much about the brightness of the screen. So what the Dell had done, the Dell was a bright white background. And we held it next to each other and I said, right, forget everything I just said. Let's get the swap done. You'll be absolutely fine with this one. I'm not even going to write on the receipt. And they went, no, look, we can see it, as, you know. And I learned a lesson there, like just next time go and have a look straight away at what the people were saying, you know, rather than letting the tech get in the way. And it taught me a valuable lesson that brightness is not just about the measurement of the thing. It totally depends. I suspect the cheap one, the 379 quid one, probably just had a low grade, could even be a TN screen, I suppose, still. And the other one just had a better quality, probably an IPS screen, I guess. But I thought that was quite a valuable lesson, really.
Because you get a similar thing, I think, with phones, don't you? That you know, some screens are known to be a lot better than others. And actually, you know, I mean, for example, you get a screen made by Samsung, it tends to be a top quality screen. I mean, you remember a few years ago, was it, which Pixel was it, where... No, it wasn't. It was actually the before we had Pixels. What would they call the phones?
Nexus.
Then? Nexus. It was the Nexus 6, wasn't it, I think, where Huawei made one, the big one, if I remember rightly, and the screen was beautiful. And LG made the smaller one.
Yeah.
And everybody complained it got a bluish tint, if I remember rightly. Just depends which factory they're coming out of.
I think so, yeah, I think so. But, yeah, I found that quite interesting, actually, that was so vastly different, and they were very happy with it. But so anyway, back to the S23 Ultra. You had an S22 Ultra, I didn't. And the general consensus seems to be that it is a very, very different machine. And most of that must come down, I think, to the processor.
I think it must do. Sure, there'll be tweaks here and there. Like you, the weather's not been very conducive for taking photos, but the ones I've taken I have been pleased with. I think the proof of the pudding may well come in the next month or so when the weather improves. There is that to go, but so far I've been really quite impressed with it.
I just think, and going back to that iPhone 14 Plus that I was talking about, I had that brief thought about could that be my next phone, essentially, because I don't really like Monkey Island, which is what I'm going to call it from now on. I don't really like that at all, in reality. I'm going to have no choice if I wait for the 15 series, apparently, because they're all going to have the island. It looks very distracting to me, although you've said you don't really notice it.
I don't really notice it, to be honest. But, yeah, I can see why it would bother you. I mean, do you remember how you felt about the notch?
Yeah, very much so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think you'd have the same experience.
I think so. And each 14 Pro and Pro Max that I set up, and we do quite a few, I'm a little bit more comfortable with it with each one. I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going to have to get used to this, aren't I? If I want to carry on with an iPhone, but
I mean, it is a valid point. I'm not trying to score a point, but you know, you absolutely hated the idea of the notch and whatever else. Doesn't bother you now, does it?
Well, no. And what did it? No, I mean, I've even got the, you know, I'm recording this obviously on the Mac, and I'm looking at a giant notch on the top of the Mac, and that doesn't bother me. In fact,
which has no useful purpose.
Which has literally no purpose. Mm. At least we know there's a purpose on the other one. But it doesn't bother me. It's like just like a signature mark almost. And I guess it would be exactly the same with the other one. But it does annoy me when I look at it, and just don't like it. And the 14 Plus would solve that, because it would. It wouldn't, you know, it's got the notch still, obviously.
I've not actually been to have a look at one, but presumably the 14 Plus is the same size as the Pro Max.
It's exactly the same size, but it feels like it's half the weight. Yeah. My biggest struggle with the S23 Ultra is the weight as opposed to the size. It's a very dense machine. It feels about the same weight as the Pro Max, although I think it's a little lighter than the Pro Max. But I just thought, wow, this is really light. You know, it's got a nice screen. It's 60 hertz, but I can't tell the difference. So what's the problem? You know, it goes bright, not quite as bright as the Pro, but it goes quite bright. And that could protect, and it's not £1,300 either.
Which is another big point.
Yeah,
in favor,
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just going back to the S23, which I said I put up for sale for 4 minutes, and I took it off because ultimately the way I've bought this, which is on a 3-year, it's actually on a 3-year PCP, which is kind of wild for a phone. So it's three years at £20 a month, and it was £100 up front, I think, or something like £100 up front. 110, I think. And after 3 years, you still owe £218 on it as a residual value. The idea being that you can send it back to Samsung and they'll pay the other £218 off. But my thought was, I'm going to sell this, and in reality, what I should do is pay it off completely, because otherwise I'm going to be paying for something that I don't have any longer. The other flip side of that, I don't have to pay it off, by the way, because it's not like a car, which would have a lien against it. This is just a personal loan that I can do what I like with. And then my thought was, I owe about £600 on the Mac, you know, another 6 months and that's all paid off. And I could pay the Mac off with half that money, and then pocket the other half. And then I thought, well, then I'm going to want an Android phone, and where I'm going to end up at the moment, I've got the best Android phone that there is, bar none. I think that's arguable. It's interesting, since I've had this S23 Ultra, that I kind of look at all these releases from Huawei and Honor, and I just think, why would anyone bother? Just go for the S23 Ultra.
To be honest, I mean, what getting the S23 Ultra has done is mean that I've barely picked up my Pixel 7 Pro.
Yeah.
Which is another very nice device.
But look at the prices that people are trying to get for those, and they can't even sell them.
I know. It's absolutely crazy when you look on the forum. I mean, at the moment, there's a Sage Green or whatever it's called, 7 Pro on the forum.
Yeah.
And it's coming from somebody who I know and I've bought stuff from before. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. If he says it's in good condition, it's good condition. And he's not even getting it to shift at £400. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I mean, it is ridiculous because it's a great device. It's not just an average device.
When you think that there was a comment on a P30 Pro that went up from Steve saying I should buy that. And when you think that's £230, but you can have a Pixel 7 Pro for £450, it's madness.
Well, I'll tell you what my reservation about. All right, I've had 5 P30 Pros. So
I don't know how many I've had. Someone said I had 9, but I don't know if I've had 9.
That would tell you just how much I like the P30 Pro.
Yeah, right? Me too.
So two reasons why I wouldn't buy that one. Number one, it doesn't have 5G.
Yeah, that's a point these days,
which,
isn't it?
Which is actually a point for me because I've got 5G of varying capacity on every network around here. But number two is the last one I bought was a mint condition P30 Pro new edition, and it cost me £180 15 months ago.
Yeah, I think that was an aberration, though, wasn't it?
I think it was an aberration, but the trouble is, what it means is, in terms of how I perceive the value, I think, well, no. Now, having said all that, the P30 Pro is really one of my favourite devices of all time. It really is a really great device. Steve's just said, well, we've plugged this on PSC. That's a bit of a shame. I probably shouldn't have said that. But to me, in terms of a value, it's not there when you compare it with, like you say, the 7 Pro that you can get for another £170 on the forum.
There's some weird stuff goes on with Android values, I think. That's the problem.
Yeah, there absolutely is. Absolutely is. And there's some weird things happen on the forum as well, because periodically you can reach the price that they ought to reach for no apparent reason. The seller of that one that we've just been talking about, like I say, I've bought stuff from him before. It was immaculate. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I find it hard to understand. Actually, interestingly enough, somebody's put up a 7 Pro in black for £495. Well, yeah, it's very odd that these things just don't go.
Correct. Yeah, I don't really get it, but it's, I suppose it's because at the moment all the hype is around the S23 Ultra, and I suppose it won't be long before they're down to sort of £600, probably, because Android phones just do not hold their value, do they?
No, although iPhones don't hold it the way they used to.
No.
And the other thing I suppose to bear in mind is that, times are hard.
I'm
sitting here in a room that a year ago I would have certainly been heating to probably 18 degrees, and this year we've only had it to 16 degrees, and so I'm sitting here in a vest and a shirt and a jumper that I bought a year ago.
Yeah.
But, times are tough.
Absolutely.
I guess that's another thing that factors into the prices things go for. But no, in terms of a value proposition, the 7 Pros on the forum at the moment are probably, to my mind, the best deal there.
Yeah, and I think the last P30 Pro I had was a little while ago, but a lot of it was rose-tinted specs, I think. These zoom lenses, even in the S23 Ultra. I went out the other day, the one time it wasn't raining and I was off. I went out and just up the road from me, there's a little track, and there's a farmhouse which is probably something like, I always say it's a mile away, but it's probably near a half a mile, I suspect, away. And I took some video and stuff, and I haven't learned how to use the S23. So if it actually stops raining today, I want to go and have another go at it. But I took some video of it with various settings on the S23. And then I did the same with the iPhone. But of course, with the iPhone, you have to zoom into digital pretty much straight away after you only got 3x optical. So you then just got to push it to, I think it goes to 9x if you're in a fairly high res. And while the results on the S23 Ultra are better, they're not that much better than, using 10x optical, they're not that much better. You're just using that as a test, aren't you? You're using that to say, oh, what is that over there? Let me zoom in and take a 10-second video of it. Oh, okay, it's a horse, or it's an elephant, or whatever it is.
You're not gonna
make a movie out of that, are you?
I don't know. I agree with you. I mean, for example, although Steve gave me some stick because he didn't like how it looked on Twitter, I put a picture up the other day. There was I think it's probably a baby blackbird in a tree next door,
mm-hmm.
and I got a picture of this with the S23 Ultra, which was through glass and probably glass that could have done with clean because it's been raining for weeks.
Yeah.
In next door's garden in a tree,
mm-hmm.
and it is not a bad picture. I mean, it's not a great picture. It's a memory of, gosh, it's a baby blackbird, I think it probably was, or a thrush or something. The iPhone wouldn't have come close. Not not even in the same league, because it was quite a long way away, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of depends. I think we've reached a point with phone cameras where they're not all much of a muchness, and certainly I would love the iPhone to have a periscope zoom.
I wonder what it's going to get. I'm figuring it'll be like a 5 or 6 times, you know?
It's hard to know, because Apple are always very cautious about this. But I mean, if I look at pure photos, the P40 Pro sitting on my desk next to me, in 90%, if maybe even more, circumstances, takes every bit as good a photo as either of the phones we just mentioned, and that's 2 years old. Unfortunately, having enhanced the security on my Google account, I've locked it out of Google services. So I'm really rather sad about that. As I recall, it took me about an hour and a half to hack Google services on it 2 years ago. And to be honest, I probably won't bother now. But it's still a great device.
The next time you see that Blackbird or a similar one, there's a few about. Just do it with the iPhone on maximum zoom. See what you get. Because you're saying it won't be anything, you know, like, but I was really shocked. maybe you've done it.
Not contemporaneously, but I wouldn't even have tried to take the photo. It's probably...
I was completely shocked by what the iPhone video looked. I mean, this was video, mind, so it might be different.
Yeah, that's the thing. iPhone might be different. Has always been in a different league. I just do almost no video. It's just not something I've ever got into. But the fact of the matter is, it goes back to what we were saying. You know, on that particular day, I got a good picture of that bird with the S23 Ultra. I wouldn't, to be honest, have tried to take it with the iPhone. I would have just...
That's the difference, I guess, isn't it?
But there'll be other occasions when the iPhone will take a much better photo than the S23 Ultra. It's literally a case of, you know, well, what's it like today? And, yeah, I think it's very difficult to say one is massively better than the other. Where the iPhone, I think, is behind at the moment is not having a periscope zoom. But Apple will invent it next year or maybe even this year if we're lucky.
I think we'll see. I think we're going to see something like a 5 or 6 times.
Which would be a lot more use in some ways.
I think so.
I'd still like to see 10. In fact, I'd like Apple to invent a convincing 30 times periscope zoom, but I think it'd be a very strange phone shape if you were to do that this year.
The case things are already out, and the lens thing seems to stick out quite a bit further. Yeah. So it leads me to think that they will have a go at something.
I agree, and I don't think it'll be a periscope because the lens wouldn't need to stick out.
Exactly. The other thing, that's the other thing that I suddenly then quickly thought about the 14 Plus, is I don't know that I could get away from the two bits I really love on that, which is the macro of the Pro and the 3x zoom. I don't think I could live without that 3x, because I do find that I use that probably more than I use, well, maybe not more than the main camera, but I think I use that a lot on the iPhone.
To be honest, I'm suffering like I do every time I do this. I've got the 14 Pro Max, and I'm missing the size of the 13 Pro. When I had the 13 Pro, I was missing the size of the 12 Pro Max. I don't like. I mean, where I think the S23 Ultra is a. I'm just going to do a little experiment, because the S23 Ultra has rounded sides. I found it easier to hold than the 14 Pro Max. Now, that said, I actually like the design of the 14 Pro Max. I mean, it goes back to the iPhone 4, the iPhone 5. It's a good shape.
Yeah.
But the problem is, being quite as wide as it is, it's a bit harder to hold, whereas the Samsung I just find more comfortable to hold. I mean, it's like all these things. I mean, it comes down to preference, isn't it? I'm just sticking them one over another, the 14 Pro Max and the S23 Ultra. And frankly, the difference is negligible. In fact, I wouldn't even be surprised if the S23 Ultra is not a tiny bit wider than the 14 Pro Max, but the difference is the shape. So it kind of fits between your thumb and your fingers easier, because it's not square and boxy. They're both great phones. I'm very lucky to have both of them, and you know, for all the little niggles.
And that's why I want to split myself in two. I've just taken a couple of, you know, our classic knob shots that we put in the old back channel. I've just taken a couple of those at 10 times while you're chatting. And, you know, you're obviously 10 times digital on the iPhone. And I've got, and then I've taken 10 times, obviously, on the S23 Ultra. And the knob is hugely bigger on the iPhone than it is on the thing. So there's obviously a total difference to the lens. I'm quite surprised by that, actually. In terms of clarity, if I zoom in on the already digitally zoomed, the iPhone looks absolutely appalling. And mind you, it's a very old knob, so the knob doesn't look great anyway, to be perfectly honest. Of course, I'm being very childish here because it's actually a door handle, but, you know, why not?
Well, indeed. I mean, yeah, no, it is a classic test, isn't it?
You've done this is just for James, really. It's mostly for James. He loves. There's nothing he likes more than a knob shot, to be fair.
Yeah, he's been reputed to make comments about that before, hasn't he?
Indeed. So yeah, if the weather, it has stopped raining in Suffolk. Well, in Ipswich anyway.
Or in just about has here, but yeah, it's just about pelting.
Really not sure. I want to go and walk on a muddy path, but. And of course, the photos don't look anywhere near as good when the sun goes out than it does thin me. So my challenge for this afternoon on a very wet day is I'm going to try. I've got the I've got Nova on, as you know, on the S23 Ultra. You've still got One UI, yeah?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So do me a favour, go to your main home screen. And, excuse me, can you still swipe up from the bottom and hold? Oh, it worked that time. Right.
What do you want to do?
And you can hold and get all the apps up on the carousel, yeah?
Well, no, because I've got Samsung Pay activated on it and swipe up from the bottom.
Right. Okay. Right. Because
No, if I do it a little bit higher on the screen, I can, though. If I do it sort of, say, you know the dock?
Yeah.
If you swipe up just above the dock, it brings up the app drawer. That's easy.
Yeah, I mean, mine doesn't. It just worked for the first time in a long time, but mine doesn't do it. Mine does it. So, for example, now if I click Chrome, for example, I can now do it, obviously, to my heart's content. But if I'm actually back at the home screen, I can't do it on Nova.
I mean, actually, unless I do the absolute bottom of the screen, I get the app drawer. It's only if you sort of go over the edge that you get Samsung Wallet.
Right. So yeah. Really so you get the app drawer, don't you, with that? Because obviously, my Nova has got a button for the app drawer right in the dead centre of it. Mm. I mean, it's a fairly minor thing, to be honest, but.
Yeah, it's not a big thing. I mean, it's like all of these things, especially if you don't change phones so often, you learn the idiosyncrasies of the particular phone, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at my 7 Pro thinking, well, I actually really like this phone, but now I've got the S23 Ultra, it's not getting much use. Because it's the old problem, isn't it? That the Pixel is very much the iPhone of the Android world. It's stable and whatever else, but it isn't very exciting.
I'm going to disagree with you now, even though I would have said that a few weeks ago.
Go on, then.
I kind of see the S23 Ultra as the iPhone of the Android world now.
In the sense that people always complain about iPhones, you can't customise this, you can't do that. And that's not quite true, the Pixel, to be fair.
No.
But there's no bells and whistles as such on the Pixel in the way
exactly.
S23.
There's very little to do with that. And I really don't get the thing anymore that iPhone's boring, because the people that say that have never, ever played with shortcuts. They've never touched shortcuts, I promise you. Because if you think the iPhone is boring and you look at shortcuts, you cannot justify that statement at all. I think virtually no. Jackie had never heard of shortcuts. She had no idea what it was. And I think a lot of people, a lot of Android people. I think it's generally true that iPhone users are more likely to try an Android than the other way around, because obviously it's much cheaper to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the other thing that people tend to forget as well is iOS is the same operating system as macOS.
Mm.
It might be a different interface. It is a different interface, but it's the same operating system underneath. So in principle, anything that you can program for a Mac, you can program for an iPhone as well, or an iPad. And so it isn't really surprising that underneath the covers, there should be a really quite powerful ability there.
Yeah.
But it has tended, I think, especially in the early days of iPhone, to be very much hidden. It was, you couldn't, you think the original iPhone, you didn't even have an app store.
Absolutely.
But it's very powerful. I mean, I guess I don't spend enough time playing with these options because I'm perfectly happy or happy enough. But what I was saying earlier about what I found with XL, having had every iPhone since the first one except for the 3, I missed out on the 3GS. I can't remember why. But everyone since I've had every one, you learn a way of doing something, it works for you, you don't have an incentive to change unless something very obvious comes out. But no, I'd love to have the time to play with shortcuts. Perhaps I should do that during some downtime over Easter or something.
Yeah. I was just going to quickly throw in that I've got a 3 SIM coming. I quite fancy one of these mobile Wi-Fi's again. It's quite frustrating, actually, because I recently threw 3 of them away, the old 3 ones with the same battery in that a Nokia took. I don't think they were much good because I think they were only 3G. I think that's why I threw them away. I might have just stored them somewhere. Yeah. But I was looking at those. I've just ordered yesterday and today, actually, on Amazon. You can pick up, it's 25% off all the 3 pay-as-you-go's. I didn't want a contract, even a monthly one. I just wanted, because it's holiday coming up fairly soon, and I just wanted a simple pay-as-you-go. $14.99 with the deal, 20 quid normally, gets you 100 gig of 100 gig of data, but you have to use it within a month. I mean, there's other ones, by the way, as well, but that was the sweet spot. I think for £13.20, you got 50 gig, but for another 2 quid or 3 quid, you might as well get 100. And I'll probably use it at work because quite often I will flick over to my phone to do a setup because our Wi-Fi is terrible. I thought if I had a Wi-Fi, and then the other day I wandered off with my iPhone, having done that. And of course, the moment I left the back office, went out on the shop floor with the iPhone, the thing I was doing completely stopped working, and it went back to the rubbish Wi-Fi and failed. So if I had a Wi-Fi, I could just leave that out the back and crack on. So I'm just going to have a play with this 3. I don't even know what the 3 signal's like because I've actually got the other 3. I've got 2 in the iPhone, EE and I think O2, Leica. At the moment, and I've got a Libara, and these are all these, like, I think one of them's £1 a month for 6 months and the other one is 5p a month, so I didn't want another one of them. But you've actually bought a dongle, have you?
No, this is the standalone. Well, it's effectively the home broadband kit.
Oh, it's the home one. Right, okay, so that's not what I want. I want a mobile one. Yeah,
you want a mobile one.
Okay, which one have you bought?
It's whatever they're offering on their home broadband. It's a ZTE, I think, from recollection.
Okay. This is just on the 3 site, is it?
Yeah. Okay. But it's actually quite an impressive deal, assuming, of course, you've got the ability to make use of it. If you click on home broadband on the
website. Yeah, I'm just trying to get on there, and all I'm getting is
the one they've sent me looks a little bit different from the one that they actually showed us, 5G home broadband, but I guess they have a number of them.
It's like a little white box, boxy level thing.
Exactly, like a little white.
Like a little diffuser or something like that, it looks like, doesn't it?
Sort of, yeah.
No landline, no engineer, plug and play, near instant downloads, 4K streaming. Need help deciding. Go away. Jesus. Okay, check coverage. So you can't just buy it, you have to go check coverage first.
Which is sensible, isn't it?
Which makes sense. Yeah, it's not one of these horrible half price for 6 months rubbish, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, you literally do have to check your address before you can buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That makes sense, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I better put the work address in then because I know I've got very little 3 signal here. I'll put the work address in. Oh, I've typed Kevin and it's giving me a load of people called Kevin. What? What?
Why have you typed Kevin?
Well, because first line. Oh, first line isn't meant to be Kevin.
I think they just want your postcode.
Okay. Okay. Let's try that. Well, it's weird though.
Got you going
if you type, try that first line, all right. Something. Try the first line and type Kevin, and right. it gives you, for example, it gives me, Kevin's 17 the Broadway, Greenford, Kevin Joy, P.O. Box. 17029 Birmingham B33 3EN.
Oh, that's interesting because when I did this, they've changed the page because they've also changed the route that they're selling. But yeah, I see what you mean. Yes, it is giving you loads of Kevins.
That's very strange. You can't go straight to postcode.
Yeah, with mine now, postcode. So yeah. what's doing that?
I don't know. I can't even go straight to postcode. What is going on? Okay, right. Apparently, I've got a type. No, now the page is completely locked up. Let's go back, check code. Three, if you're listening, three, this is a dreadful, dreadful experience. Check coverage, now it's dark. First line.
It's interesting, actually.
21. What if I type the postcode in the first line?
I don't know.
No, that doesn't. Oh, yes, that works, even though they've got postcode down at the bottom. But now I can't. So I can see 1 to 7 of my address, but I can't go any lower than that. Ah, this is unbelievably terrible.
When I did it, I mean, they were selling a different modem, and it was £10 a month regardless, whereas now it's 3 months free and then £20 from month full. But secondly, all you literally had to do was put in the postcode. There was no more than that.
Well, this now says first line.
Yeah.
Does it? Sorry, folks, this is not the best. I have to do this offline. This is awful.
I think you have to do this a bit later, aren't you?
This is truly awful. Yeah.
So this little box arrived, and it was about half the size I expected it to be. And at the moment, in fact, it's sitting in the one room in the house that's got a really rubbish broadband, namely our bedroom, behind the unit, because it's tiny and you can't see it, but it's not going to stay there. But in there, it's giving me 270 megabits down and 23 up, which is fine, isn't it? I'm actually in the opposite corner of the house at the moment, and here it's 20 down and about 8 up, which is not really kind of what I want. But on the other hand, I have got a nice space it can sit next to the router, and it will plug into the router, and then I can maybe get rid of my Virgin Broadband because they've just sent me there. We'd like to increase our charges by 14-something% later. I'm thinking I wouldn't really like you to do that. I mean, for a country that's got a problem with inflation and where the government is supposed to be trying to do things to save inflation, why is Ofcom doing nothing about this? Why do they need to increase things by inflation plus 3.7%? I'd love to increase my bloody prices by 3.7%, let alone plus inflation.
If you ask me generally, Ofcom right now needs abolishing.
Ofcom is an utter waste of space in my book. But there you are. That is political, so I'll apologise.
Yeah, it is fairly political, but I don't give a damn.
Well, they don't do anything. That's the trouble. You know, I mean, you issue a complaint to them and they find it with an excuse not to do it. But anyway, that's by the by. So I am planning, anyway, on... there's two things I can do with this. One is I either replace my home broadband with it if it's good enough, and that's the next experiment, is to actually disconnect all the Virgin stuff for a day and have a play with it. If it isn't, then I've got a slight issue. But in fact, where my assistant works is a good three area, and she's got rubbish broadband, so I can send it to her instead. It's not something that between the two of us we'll get some value out of. I've just realised something. Can you hear me all right, Kev?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Probably would be a good idea if I actually picked the microphone off the desk, wouldn't it?
That sounds fine.
All right, well, we'll leave it there then, and I'll try not to crash-bang anything into it. But no, I mean, we'll see. But and I've got the option to send it back after 30 days if it's rubbish. But to be honest, I don't think it's going to be rubbish anyway. It's got quite, I've got a good 3 signal here. It's just a case of getting it into the right place and working out how to get the best out of it. But I'm really quite impressed with it. I was expecting maybe a bit of a great clunking box or something. Mm. It's actually smaller than my Virgin Media router. So from that point of view, it's okay until off the road tweaks to this and everybody gets a 5G modem. But
how much is it? Because I can't get there. I finally got my address in, and it says, no, we don't cover your area. And then I'm trying to put John Lewis in, but it crashes then because it's not a personal...
It's not a personal one, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the deal I've got is a business deal, and it's costing me £14 a month, which is... it's completely unlimited. It looks like they've made the home broadband offer a lot less good than it was, because it was £10 a month for 2 years, which I think Dave Rich got from recollection.
Ah, right. Your business broadband is much easier. Yeah, the whole thing for business broadband is much, much easier.
Although their accounting for it is not. The back dealing with Three Business is an embarrassment. I could run it better. But anyway, so we'll see how it goes. Compared with what Virgin want to charge me for my broadband anyway, it's certainly worth a go. And if I don't send it back, like I say, I've got another use for it anyhow. So we'll see where we get to. But so there we go. So, yeah, I mean, when I come back from my next trip anywhere, I think cancelling things because they think that 14% is a reasonable increase is going to come quite high on my list.
Yeah, so that's including VAT is £16.67. You have to contact them to buy, so it's not a. So actually, I wouldn't be able to get something like this. It does tell me though that 5G works at my place of work, so that'll be interesting. I guess in a way, I've got two phones. If I stick this, my plan is to stick this 100 gig SIM in. I think it covers 5G as well. This SIM. Pay as you go doesn't always, does it?
I think three does.
Yeah, it does actually. So 100 gig. Yeah, I'm going to give it a try. And what I'll do is I'll probably have that in the Samsung because I tend to leave the Samsung out the back anyway and use the iPhone. So
how come that John Lewis isn't providing you with better broadband?
We've got about 80 gig down, 80 megabits per second down. We don't need much up anyway. So if I go out on the shop floor, because I'm then walking away from the router, it drops down. And if we're doing three or four setups at a time, which we actually have lately. We're actually number one, by the way, out of every 34 shops for setups. Just drop that in there.
Go for it. Congratulations.
Well, for last week anyway. We'll see what happens this week. But we're second overall for year to date as well, so we're doing pretty well. So if we're doing four or five setups with some hefty update downloads and quite a few customers have quite a bit of data to do over iCloud, then it just fails, you know, sometimes. It just doesn't work brilliantly. We can't, for example, if they've got BT email, that won't work at all. We have to switch to the public Wi-Fi, which is run by BT Open World. We have to do that just to get their email to download. That was fun when we first started doing the job because no one told us that. But basically, you cannot download any BT internet email on our Wi-Fi. But it's fine. It's absolutely fine. Sorry?
What on earth is that?
What?
Well, why do they filter out BT?
I've no idea. Literally no idea. Literally don't have a clue. Haven't had the inclination to work out why, really. You just work around it and get the job done. Because one of the battles that we always have with setups is because people's previous experience of a setup is going into O2. They swap the SIM over. All their contacts were on the SIM, and that's it. Job done.
Yeah.
They think that's what's going to happen this time as well. And clearly, there's a lot more to it these days. So when you tell people 2 hours, they're like, oh, only took 10 minutes or 5 minutes last time in O2. Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, but they won't do the same job.
Plus, we won't do half a job. We won't do it. You know, we won't do it until everything's transferred and also every last update is done. Actually, with iPhone, that works absolutely fine because whatever update you need, you get, and it's a one-off. If you've got an old stock Android phone in stock, that can sometimes need 6 updates. 1 month at a time, you know, it's kind of crazy. But most of what we set up is iOS anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's increasingly that way, isn't it? And you know, I mean, it makes you wonder, actually, they've got such a large share of the market, and it seems to actually be getting bigger as well, which is
seems to be, doesn't it? Yeah, and I mean a lot of the iPhones we sell are SEs still, you know, so they're not a fortune. In fairness, they're reasonably priced, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. The cheap that's what Apple have done. That's really clever. Excuse me. Yeah. They've got a cheap phone, haven't they?
Yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah. Well, it's brightened up here, so I'm going to go out and actually do things rather than sitting indoors, because it has brightened up quite significantly.
Not a lot here yet. Mm. It's not pouring the rain anymore.
It's not sunny, but it's much brighter.
Going to make a start to the day, and that hopefully deals with what we wanted.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.